66 books of the Bible. This book is a book of 66 books. Now, there are some faith traditions that have more, none have less, but the 66 books of the Bible give instructions and commandments and directions for living. And it might have some suggestions too. But there's a lot of commandments. There's a lot of directions. There's a lot of things that say, thou shalt or thou shalt not. And today, the world doesn't want to hear thou shalt or thou shalt not. Much of the church doesn't want to hear thou shalt or thou shalt not. This book contains wisdom that was compiled over about 1,500 years. It captivates minds to this very day. This book of wisdom, knowledge, this book of God's way and God's will, it grabs attention even to this day. Now that is amazing to me. That gives me a real kick, I'll tell you. To think that God, in His great divine wisdom and ability, could take writers over 1,500 years, 39 or 40 writers, depending on who you ask. Some say Paul wrote Hebrews, others say no way. It doesn't matter. Oh, inspired by the Holy Spirit, hundreds of thousands of words of divine inspiration. Number one bestseller to this day. People from all walks of life contributed to it. Priests, kings, fishermen, tax collectors, carpenters, musicians, and others all contributed to it. And those same people, the same people that wrote it, enjoy it today. Leaders, tax collectors, fishermen, roofers, carpenters, electricians. Oh my. Everybody can enjoy what God provides in His Word. All people from all walks of life benefit from it, as they have for more than 3,000 years. That is incredible. It's incredible that we have more manuscript evidence for this book than any other writing that exists. Not only is it the root of salvation, but it also provides the map. It gives us the way. It's like a treasure map that unfolds the greatest treasure ever provided to humankind. Everlasting life. So it's no wonder that it tells us, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach it. Preach it. Now, we're going to read a brief passage of Scripture today that gives an instruction to preach the Word. Paul, writing to Timothy, in his second letter, Paul was about to be poured out as a drink offering, he called himself. He was about to die. He was about to give his life for the gospel. And in this instruction to preach the Word, he was telling Timothy and all who would come after him, make sure you use this as your guide. This, the book. God's Word. Now, this message is part of the series that I called Route 66. And it's the first half of a two-part message, probably two parts. It might go into three, I don't know. It depends on how much we get through this morning. But at least two parts on 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to just look at verses 1 through 5. But before we do, I want us to pray. So if you would, just bow with me for a moment as we pray. Father, please open your treasure map to us today. Guide us to follow your instructions. Lead us to accept inspiration, to travel life your way. Please expunge all distractions from our minds. You have sealed your word for our gain. Please excite our appetite for it. Make us hungry for it, Lord. I yield to you for your glory today. Please anoint me to preach good tidings to those who hear. this message. Enable me to preach the message that you want them to receive. Let the Holy Spirit fall upon all who hear the Word. Please open the eyes of our understanding, Father. Light up our intellect with Your Word of truth. Use us, Lord, to preach Your Word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you will, open your Bibles to the fourth chapter of Paul's second letter to Timothy. To Timothy. You'll find that on page 801 in the Pew Bible there. Page 801. It's 2 Timothy, chapter 4. We're going to read the first 5 verses. Pay attention to these words. They are for all believers, most especially the preachers. I charge you, therefore, it is written, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And that's where we'll end our reading of this first passage. We trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. I want to exposit first, just as quickly as possible, the first verse. The first verse contains 5 elements. We might even say 6. But at least 5. I charge you. This is a solemn charge. As I said earlier, Paul was about to die, and he knew he was about to die, and this was a sad occasion because he's telling his followers, those who he had taught, the churches that he had raised up and started, he was telling them, look, this is it. This is the end of the road for me. Y'all got to go on without me. He's telling them, you need to hear what I'm saying. He was witnessing to them. He was speaking the truth of God to them. He said, I charge you before God. Second point. Before God. So you're standing before God, who you are going to give an answer to. You are going to answer to Almighty God for the words that come out of your mouth. Make sure they are His words. And the Lord Jesus Christ, point number 3. On that first verse. This could be a sermon in itself, and I'm not going to go there. I just wanted to touch on it real quick. And the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only is He putting you before God, He's charging you before Almighty God, the preacher. That solemn charge isn't just to Timothy. It's to me. It's to me. It's to all that God has called to preach. It's to everyone that He calls to preach. Now, there are many who presume to be preachers who God has not called. He always equips the ones that He calls. Well, not everybody who's equipped is necessarily called by Almighty God. But here, Timothy is hearing from Paul, who's telling him, look, you're going to be standing before God. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And he said, Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. Point number 4. When you stand before Him, you're going to be judged by Him, and everything that came out of your mouth is going to be judged. And it doesn't matter when you claim that you have salvation. It doesn't matter if you said a little prayer. It doesn't matter if you did all the things that religion calls for you to do. So you're going to be judged. You make sure what comes out of your mouth is the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we understand this first verse. He says, he's going to judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Well, His kingdom comes at His appearing. Christ is going to return. He says this repeatedly. He'll be back. He's going to return. And when He returns, He's bringing His kingdom with us. And this is where we will all stand before Him. When you look back at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, you go to the very end there. Remember, the Scriptures were not divided with verses and chapters when they were first written. So as you're reading chapter 3, it says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is unprofitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then when you go to verse 4, preach the Word. All Scripture is profitable. Preach it. Preach it. Now, there are passages of Scripture that I have never preached. I can tell you, I just haven't gotten there. I follow where the Holy Spirit leads. And whatever the congregation is that's sitting in this room on any given day, whenever I'm preaching, or in any other venue when God has called me outside of this room to preach, I use what God gives me. And He hasn't given me every passage. And in fact, if He had, I wouldn't have had enough time. I've only been here for 11 years, and there wouldn't be enough time to cover every single passage of Scripture in enough depth that if people could understand it. When He says, preach the Word, He's saying, preach the Word. Not your words, John Pistorius. Preach His Word. Not your word, preacher, in any pulpit in America or anywhere else in the world. His words. Preach the Word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Preach the Word. The Word. The whole Word. The counsel of God. The Bible gives instructions about itself. It tells us to preach the Word. This letter and his previous letter to Timothy, along with the letter that follows it, that we call Titus, it was written to Titus, these are dubbed the pastoral epistles, and Bible schools use them to teach up-and-coming preachers. Paul wanted Timothy to persevere in sharing the Word. Because any of us can share anything, right? I mean, I could make up anything and just tell you, well, this is what I think. But it's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's about what Almighty God says. It's what matters in your life. It doesn't matter for me to tell you what I think matters in your life. Unless, of course, it's tied to God's Word. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince. Convince of what? God's Word. Rebuke. Rebuke of what? Sin. Going the wrong way. Exhort. What's exhort mean? Uplift. Strengthen. Build up. And be patient. Long-suffering. Preach the Word is a command to proclaim the good news. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Preach the Word. And that root word for preach there, it's found 61 times in the Bible. It's translated preach, publish, and proclaim, and variations of those words. It means to herald as a public crier, especially divine truth, the gospel. It means like the old time criers, because remember, when we're reading the Bible, we're reading documents that are old, they're historic. And so the words that are used sometimes are antiquated, and we don't have the full understanding of what those words are. And He says, preach the Word. He's saying, like the town crier who would bring a message from the king. Hear ye, a message from the king. That's what He's talking about. He's saying, proclaim the message of the king. Proclaim, tell people, let them know this is serious, this comes from the king. This is the king's word to his people. That's what He's telling us. Herald it. It's a public proclamation of the gospel in the matters pertaining to it. John the Baptist proclaimed the good news. Jesus proclaimed the good news. The apostles proclaimed the good news. And others all in through time have preached the good news, and so should we. But today, especially in this country, we have lost our way. We're no longer preaching the Word. We're preaching everything but the Word. And that's why the country's going downhill. We need a return to God's Word. We need the preachers of this country to step back up into the pulpits and bring the Word of Almighty God to bear upon the souls that they're preaching to. It needs to deliver a continuous speaking discourse on God's Word. Not on some football story. Not on some fishing tale. On God's Word. The sayings of God, His mandates, His orders, His instructions, His commandments. The essential Word of Almighty God. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God, and so we preach Christ. Where do we find Christ? All along Route 66. The signposts are there, folks. All through this book, we find Christ. He's foretold. There were prophecies that were laid down long before He came, and He fulfilled those prophecies. Now, can you imagine that? Hundreds of years before He came, men of God spoke the Word of God and proclaimed that God was going to send a Messiah. And God did. He's the living Word. He's the written Word proclaimed to us. So, which part of the Word are we to preach? What would you say? How about the inspired part? Well, wait a minute. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all Scripture is inspired of God. It's profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction. Okay, so, you mean I can't just pick and choose? I can't take scissors to the Bible? I don't like this part, I'm going to cut it out. Well, that's right, preacher. You can't. You can't cut out those parts that don't agree with your man-made theology. You can't cut out those parts that don't go with your political philosophy. You can't cut out those parts that you disagree with just because you disagree with them. You can't cut out those parts for any reason. Like all who've come before, you are instructed to preach the Word. The Word! Preach it! Oh, but that old stuff makes me fall asleep, preacher. Can't you tell us some funny stories? Well, let's see. I know. The other day I was listening to a preacher on the radio. And he was talking about Paul's preaching. See, Paul was getting ready to leave. And Paul was preaching, and he went late into the night. Started in the daytime, and he's preaching late into the night. It was around midnight, Jim. And there's this kid that's sitting up on a windowsill, okay? He's sitting up on this windowsill, and his eyes are getting heavy. He's like a deer hunter on the first day, up in a deer stand, you know? Boom, he falls out of the window, crashes 3 stories down to the ground. Bam! Dead. And somebody said, well, what kind of a preacher was Paul? And that preacher said, he's a killer preacher. He's killer! He killed that kid! Can you imagine today? Oh my goodness. Every news outlet in America would have the story. Now, just to comfort you, the kid was revived. He was brought back to life. God got the glory. Remember that the next time you're in a hurry to get out of here when I'm preaching. Paul preached past midnight, okay? Don't get worked up if I go a little bit long. I remember one old guy used to sit back there and he'd look at his watch and start tapping on it. It's a minute after. And you know what? I don't mind if you fall asleep while I'm preaching as long as I'm the only one talking in your sleep. That story of Paul preaching and the kid falling asleep and falling out of the window, that was inspired by God to be recorded. Because God got the glory. Now, God's Word gives instructions about many things, including human life, and we are to preach about those too. And there are many today that won't preach. Thou shalt not kill. It's a common sense law. Preserves and protects human life. Nobody has God's permission to kill another human being. None of us. Now, that's not the unforgivable sin. Remember, the unforgivable sin is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But, absent repentance, we got trouble. Okay? We've got trouble. If we don't have repentance, we have trouble. You, along with everybody else in the world that has some fashion of news, know about that shooting that took place last Saturday at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. Some crazed, hate-filled man entered that synagogue in Pittsburgh to kill people. That was his sole purpose. He didn't go there to worship God. He didn't go there to help to name the child that they were going to name. They were gathered to worship and conduct a baby naming service, and this man entered and slaughtered people. There's no excuse for that. It's not okay. There's nothing about it that's okay. It's also not okay to blame our president because people disagree with our president. And I'm not pro or con with our president. What I'm saying is it's not okay to blame the president for what some crazed man did. Our hearts and our prayers go out to those who were affected, directly and indirectly, through this. There are people all over the world that are affected by this, horrified by it. I tell everybody here, just, hey, if you have a gun, bring it. This is not a gun-free zone, okay? It's not a gun-free zone. You carry, carry. This type of hatred is all too common today. People spew their hatred all over the place. Just to open up your social media app and see what's on there. Say one little thing and see how people respond to it. Sometimes I do it on purpose. I want to see what the responses are. Ooh, man. Some of the hatred that comes out of people. I say we ought not disrespect the office of the president. It doesn't matter what president's in there. I've said it with different presidents. And people climb on top, rah, 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 but he this and he that, and he this and he that, rah, rah, rah. My dad taught me respect. My dad taught me to respect people in authority. My sister probably remembers a time whenever I badmouthed one of our friend's mothers, Terry Barth's mom. My dad marched me down there and made me apologize to her. One of the most humiliating things that ever happened to me. Because I had to stand there and say, I'm sorry, Mrs. Barth. I didn't mean it. At the time, I didn't. I'm confessing. I did not. I wasn't sorry. I called her some names. They were not swear words or anything, just nasty stuff that 11 or 12-year-old kids can say about people. But my dad taught me respect. And there were other incidents like that where my dad would tell me, look, you need to respect people. He was a military man. He had respect. He raised us with discipline. He raised us to be respectful. And to this day, I believe all of my siblings and I are. It's a shame, though, when we see how people spew their hatred. And some people act upon it. But, you know, this is nothing new. It's nothing new. There was a famous reformer who wrote and published his hatred of the Jews. And this inspired one of the greatest episodes of anti-Semitism in our era by a man that all of you have heard of. The reformer in the 1500s, inspired by his writings, Adolf Hitler and his hatred of the Jews. Adolf was inspired by this church reformer. This guy wrote a 65,000 word anti-Semitic treatise in 1543. It's almost 500 years ago. In it, he denounced the Jews. He urged their persecution. He said their rabbis should be forbidden to preach. He said their synagogues and schools should be burned. He said their prayer books should be destroyed. He said their homes should be burned and their property and money should be confiscated. That's what this reformer, church reformer, did very good church reformation work. But he missed the point. Because God said, preach the word. Now, what does the word tell us? Well, let's go on a little bit further. It's all public record. I'm not making this up, folks. You can go home and you can look it up for yourself. I can't imagine how a man who did such good in pointing out errors in the church could have been so blind in his hatred of God's people. It doesn't make any sense to me. So who was this guy, you're wondering, right? Who was this reformer who turned people's hearts to hate God's people? His name, everybody knows, Martin Luther. That's right. Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a hater. He hated the Jews. Now, how does that square with the Word of Almighty God? Well, God says repeatedly, blessed is he who blesses you, speaking of his people, and cursed is he who curses you. Preach the word. Why didn't this reformer know that passage of Scripture? Blessed are those who bless God's people, and cursed are those who curse God's people. How could he have overlooked that? How could he have missed it? He was a monk. Preach God's word. God says he'll bless those who bless his people. It's written in Leviticus chapter 19, you shall not hate your brother in your hearts. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor. Neighbor gets out of line, you straighten him out. But you don't hate him. You don't bear sin because of him. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, it's written, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Wait a minute. Really? No murderer has eternal life abiding in him? Well, we know that's not the unforgivable sin, so we know that upon repentance, the murderer can be forgiven. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, we hear if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. How many people that I've run into in the church who have said they hate those people that are called the Jews? They hate their brother. How can he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? Preach the word. Preach it. God's word is clear. Thou shalt not kill. And we could extend that using Jesus' metaphor, thou shalt not hate other people. You've heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder. This is Jesus speaking. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Then he goes on. He talks about looking upon a woman with lust in your eyes. He says, then you've committed adultery with her in your heart. He's saying, when you do it in your heart, you've done it. When you hate, you've killed. This is part of the Word of God, and we're instructed to preach it, but how many do? How many people are preaching this? With the hate of many growing worse and worse, the time for preaching the Word is truly in season. Almighty God has appointed watchmen, and His watchmen are charged with proclaiming the truth as it's written in His Word. We're not permitted to soft pedal it. We're not permitted to twist it. And we may not change it like countless others are. whole denominations are preaching anything but the Word of God. We may not kill and call it a right. Sure, it's a choice. But it's not a right given by Almighty God. It's murder and nobody gets a pass. And we have taken away the whole sanctity of human life. God gives life and God will take it away. None of us are authorized to take life. But in many so-called churches today, they preach that it's a woman's right to take a life. But those who kill and promote killing will stand before our Creator and answer for their crimes. Absent repentance, they will be judged because the Word of Almighty God commands repentance. And this one word is the embodiment of the gospel. It's the embodiment of the gospel. Jesus preached repentance. It was central to His message. After He was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, when the Holy Spirit lighted upon Him, from that time forward He went out and He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He also said, "The time is fulfilled, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So there we see the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are together. They're likened. "Repent," He said, "and believe in the gospel." Changing and twisting and ignoring God's Word places the doers in danger of eternal fire. That's what God's Word says. We will stand in judgment. Our holy, righteous, almighty Creator will hold us to account. It's time to repent. It's time to turn to God and preach His Word. Preach it! This is the command. This is the charge. And the preachers have dropped the ball. They've run from it. The Word. Oh, no. I got a good story for you today. You should have seen the fish I got while I was out on the lake last week. Okay, so I'll wrap it up. I'm going to cover the rest of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to cover that next week. And we'll see that preaching the Word of God is vital today, just as it was then, thousands of years ago. Fewer people have been raised with any type of religion today. Do you know that? Oh, yeah, there's lots of people that claim to be Christian because they knew one once. There's a lot of people that claim to be Christian because they said a little prayer at some meeting somewhere once. There's people that claim to be Christian because their parents were Christian or their grandparents were, or they knew somewhere along the line their great-grandparents went to church once. But there are people that have not been raised with any type of biblical teaching. There's more now than ever before in this land. And as a result, they lack hope. Remember what's written in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. "These things were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have" what? Hope! Hope! Where do we find our hope? That book that we call the Bible. Even though it's the number one best-selling book of all time, and it still enjoys best-selling status, fewer people live by it today than ever before. Oh, we all own one. Lots of people own Bibles. They're not reading them. Our former president said something to that effect. Folks just don't understand their Bible, or they don't know their Bible. And he was right. It makes it critical to preach the Word just as we are instructed. Preach the Word. John Pistorius, preach the Word. Don't bring these fantastic stories about your own life. Preach the Word! God loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son. He loved the world so much that whoever believes in His Son will not perish. He loved the world so much that He gives us everlasting life, those of us who believe. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, it's written, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of sin the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." There are two sides to the coin. Yes, God so loved the world, but if you don't do what He says to do, you are a son, you are a child of disobedience, and He will punish you, you will stand before Him. That's what His Word shows, very clearly. And there are some who deny that. "Oh, no, no, once I said that prayer, Pastor. No, no, I'm saved. I'm saved now and forever. I'm once saved, always saved, Pastor. Doesn't matter what I do. Not under the law." Yes, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Yes, preach that. Preach it. He forgives our sins. He makes a way out of depravity for us. But then He calls us to a new life. It's being born again. Rebirth. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You no longer want to be an enemy of God. You don't want to serve Satan. You want to serve Almighty God. And so you do everything that you can to allow God to work through you and fill you with His Spirit. Preach the Word. The Word of God. Preacher. Preach the Word. Preach it. That's what He says. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that I have kept the charge to preach Your Word today. Please look upon us and be merciful to us. This is Your custom, according to Your Word. It's Your custom for You to look upon us and be merciful to us who love Your name. Direct our steps, Father, with Your Word. Please let no iniquity have dominion over us, as it's written in Your Word. Lead us, as Jesus said, out of temptation. And deliver us, Father, from evil, we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Let's open our hymnals to number 396. Rose, have you got that prepared? Number 396? You get it practiced up? Number 397, excuse me, it's number 397. I marked it wrong. Am I ever human? 397, what's that? Well, what's 394? I surrender all. 397. Yeah, number 397, I have decided to follow Jesus. And let's all sing it out loud. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to help with this ministry, you can send your gifts to Pastor John at Post Office Box 67, Shikora, Pennsylvania. That's C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. May God richly bless you.